The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you'll know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live too. On that day, you'll realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me, and whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For the last few weeks, we've been working our way through words Jesus spoke at the Last Supper, reflecting on what happened before he died, before the events that led to his resurrection occurred. And in a certain way, I think we're joining the early church, the first disciples in this. I can only imagine that in the confusing days and weeks after his passion, death, and resurrection, when he would periodically visit them, I imagine that they were wondering, what has happened? What did he say? What were the final words he spoke to us? And so in these days after Easter, they remembered that Last Supper, the words he spoke, and we joined them each and every Easter season in doing the same thing. And today, in reflecting on what did he say, what was his final address to us, we get a message of his enduring presence with us, his abiding presence with us, his presence which is not only with us, but for us like an advocate. He tells us he's going to send us his Spirit, who will be an advocate for us, who will advocate for us, that his presence is not just with us, but for us. And he makes this extraordinary, extraordinary promise to us today. He says, "I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you orphans." And just let that imagery sink in. He will not leave us abandoned. He will not leave us unprotected. He will not leave us unprovided for. All the lies that the evil one tries to sell us, that we won't be taken care of, that we won't be provided for, that we won't be protected. And he uses the imagery of an orphan and promises, he promises not only his presence, but that he will not leave us orphans. And how does he do this? How does he not leave us orphans? Well, in our second reading from St. Peter, he gives us an insight. He says, "Christ suffered for sins that he might lead you to God." Christ suffered for sins that he might lead you to God. And if you want to boil this down to the basic message there, it's that through suffering, we find the way to God. Through suffering, we find the way to God. Because we can't avoid reality. We can't avoid the situation at hand that's before us. Whatever it might be, whether it's having to work from home, whether it's having your children home from school, whether it's being home from school in the months of April and May. Whatever the situation at hand might be, that is what God uses. Whatever we experience, he uses to that he might lead us to himself. And I'm not saying that God imposes suffering on us. It's not like God said, am I going to choose, good feelings or suffering to lead? No, he just takes whatever's there. And often in our life, that's suffering. The ancient prayer of the church, that Hail Holy Queen says, this is a veil of tears. And so when we experience suffering, we have to realize that that is how God is leading us to himself. And this is shown ultimately to us on the cross, on Christ's death on the cross, that he accepted and embraced it. And by embracing what was the situation at hand, he redeemed it. He made it meaningful. He took the meaninglessness of suffering and made it meaningful. And that's what he does for our suffering when he meets us in it. In a few lines after the gospel we read today, he says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives peace, do I give it. Well, how does the world give peace? The world gives peace like anesthesia. It makes the real situation at hand seem not to be there. The world's peace numbs it out, makes it try to disappear, be dismissed, be avoided. But Christ's peace does not make reality go away. It doesn't make the hard things go away, but it meets us in them. The world's peace says, pretend it's not here. I'll numb you out. Christ's peace says, no, you can handle this because this is where I meet you. Jesus, in his promise of his presence through the Holy Spirit, he gives us a new way of seeing, a new way of thinking, of feeling, of suffering. One that looks for him, that looks for him, that looks for his promise of being our advocate in his Spirit. We have to ask ourselves, how is this situation at hand, Jesus? How is it Jesus coming to me? Jesus who never leaves, who won't leave me in orphan. Where is he present? Where is his promise to be my advocate in my situation, in what's before me? Because, brothers and sisters, Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection is the one lens by which we view every situation in our lives. Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection is the one lens through which we view every event of our lives. Where is there suffering? And where is God promising redemption, resurrection? By this one event in history, everything else is lit up. The darkness and confusion of pain and suffering is lit up when we say, Jesus, where are you coming to me in this? Jesus' presence to you in your life calls you to be radically present to your own life, to be fully engaged, fully embodied, to feel and suffer all of it. Because the way to God is the situation at hand. The way to God is the reality that's before you, whatever that might be. And disciples of Jesus, there are so many ways that we can choose the peace of the world over the peace of Christ. So many ways we choose not to be present to our lives. Some easy ones: picking up our phone, avoiding conflicts, ignoring needs, our own and others around us. Alcohol, food, pornography. We have endless options of ways to choose anesthesia over finding the presence of Christ. But God faithfully comes to us always in every experience of our lives. He is present. He calls us to look for him. Even and especially in times of disruption like this, when nothing is normal, We can think my normal way of living my faith, of engaging with God, is different. I can't go to Mass on Sunday, I can't go to daily Mass, to adoration, I can't go to religious education. And so God's presence in my life is disrupted. That's a lie from the evil one. It's especially in times of disruption, of difficulty, of uncertainty, that He faithfully comes. He comes to us. He seeks us. And if we look, if we call back out in response, we will find Him. We will find Him. And just like the early church, remembering Jesus, looking for His presence and His promise, we turn toward His altar, where He does not leave us orphans, but feeds us. Knowing that beginning next week, we can come back to this altar after the long absence, where we know He is present as He promised.